night. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain or with two he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain or two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled full of his glory. And the post of the temple moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Listen what Isaiah says. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then Isaiah says, Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered and said, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. I want to look at these verses. You may be seated tonight. But I want to look at God tonight and a little bit about what the Bible teaches us about the holiness of God. God is a holy God, and you know, one of our things about the Church of God, and if we're going to be members of a church, then we ought to stand up for what it believes and adhere to what it believes. But you know, we believe, and the Bible teaches, that holiness is God's standard of living for His people. And the reason for that is because God is a holy God, and God's Word teaches holiness and righteousness. Just quickly, I want to look, just give you some definitions found in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, and I'm not going to give you every reference. If you want to look at this, you can look at this after church. But the word holiness means different things. In the New Testament, it talks about purification. It talks about purity. It talks about sanctification. It talks about it being a purifier. And it means to consecrate. And it means, you know, to be morally blameless or sacred or pure or ceremoniously consecrated and unto God. It even gives a thought about being a saint. The Bible calls us the saints of God. It's a sacredness in the New Testament. And, you know, it gives us all of these different words. And it means also properly right with God and in the sight of God. So holiness is something that God is looking for in all of our life. In the Old Testament, the references talk about pious and being good and being holy, being a godly man. And different things here, sacred again and dedicated and hallowed. You know, all of these things that talk about holiness. You know, I find that when Isaiah realizes this prophet of God, this man of God that had worked, and it's believed he was like the priest there to Uzziah and like the court priest. But it doesn't matter who he was or what position he served in. He was a prophet of God. He was one that we know as a man of God. But in his life, just like in everybody's life, tragedy sometimes comes. And you know, when we read these scriptures, we can understand that Isaiah was close to King Uzziah. And you know, he must have made not only a relationship with him, dealing with him as a priest, but also as friends. And it says here, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw something, but I want you to notice what this verse says, that, you know, he was in the temple. When Uzziah died, for whatever reason, Isaiah went to the temple. Probably not only Isaiah, but several others may be gathered to honor the life of this king. But he said, when I was there, and being affected by the death and being humbled by the death of his friend Uzziah, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. You know, when the kings would die in those days, the leadership would change, and they'd be uncertain about the future. They'd be uncertain about what's going to happen. So, you know, Isaiah was not only at loss for a friend, but he was uncertain about what the future might hold. But God began to reveal himself to Isaiah in a way that we all need to experience at some time in our life. You know, we ought to come to church expecting to find the presence of a mighty God in his house. We ought to come expecting Jesus to be here. We ought to come expecting to be able to sense and to experience the presence of God as we gather together to worship and honor him. But it says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. King Uzziah had died, and the throne at this time for a short period of time was empty. But the throne in heaven will never be empty. God will always be upon his throne. This mighty God that we serve. You know, we ought to find the very humbling experience in the presence of God. We ought to understand that he is God. He said, I saw him sitting up on the throne. But he noticed something about this throne. He said it was high and lifted up. Oh, you know, the throne of God sits above all of this universe. Praise God, it is over every king. It is over every dictator, every leader, every government, and every leader that will ever arise. God's throne is supreme tonight. And God is still sitting upon his throne. When we find in our life that things are going wrong, and we find that our heart is breaking, and our life is crumbling down upon us, we can rest assured to know that God is still on his throne, that God is still supreme, and that God is still in control tonight. Isaiah had never experienced something like this. Even all of his life as a prophet, he'd never sensed the presence of God in this way. Church, there's an experience in God that we can find tonight. There is something greater than what we've ever experienced. There is something to be found around the altars. There's something to be found upon our knees in the presence of this great God that is good for each and every one of us tonight. He is God. He is still God tonight. He will always be God. Listen what it says. And it says his train filled the temple. You know, it's talking about the skirts of his garment or the royal robe that he had upon. Isaiah could look and perhaps he saw other individuals that had gathered in that temple. But in his state of mind and being in the spirit as he was, Isaiah could see that God was there as well. You know, sometimes when we come, the only thing we ever see is the pastor or the the members of the church. There are times when we ought to look past these and we ought to see the power of heaven that is present for us in the church tonight. God still has power. His glory can fill this house. His glory can fill these temples. His power and anointing. The Holy Ghost is still real. The Holy Ghost is as eternal as what God the Father is tonight. The Holy Ghost is a part of the Trinity tonight. Hallelujah. And He is here with us tonight. Oh, if we would just humble ourselves, we could sense this mighty power. We could sense that it's not just us that fills the pews. It's not just us that stands in the pulpit, but it is this mighty God that fills His house with glory. He deserves honor. He deserves praise because He is. He is God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me go on here. And he said above it, when he looked and saw all of this, he saw something else. He saw some heavenly beings, some angelic forms of beings that were there. He said that stood those seraphims, those angels of God, those angels that are ready at the will and at the word and command of God to execute judgment and to bring punishment upon this world. They were standing in the presence of this mighty God. They were standing around the throne and said each had six wings. With two he covered his face. Did you know the angels of God in their humility and in the presence of God, these mighty angels that are every day in the presence of God will cover their face in humility at the presence of this God. You see, we are no better than the angels. With two, they would cover their feet. Oh, they would cover their bodies, their angelic bodies, in the presence of the Lord. But with two, the Bible says, with two, they would fly. They would fly at the command of God. They were ready, praise God, to do whatever God would direct them to do. But it says one cried unto another. Look at these verses with me tonight. These angels, all these mighty beings that can slay armies. One angel of God could slay an army if God would choose it to happen. Oh, he said, one cried unto another. They're standing around the throne. They're standing in the temple. You see, there wasn't a bunch of foolishness going on. There wasn't a bunch of things that are going on that we see happening in our church houses today. But these angels were there. Isaiah was humbled by the experience of the death of his friend Uzziah. But Isaiah was also humbled in a greater way by what he was seeing. This mighty power of God. And these angels, as they would cry one to another, holy, 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 praise God, is the Lord of hosts. You see, God is a holy God tonight. Hallelujah. And these angels would recognize that and said the whole earth is full of His glory. You know, we can look around tonight. We can see the violence. We can see the sin that is rampant. But you know, the Bible says that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. God's glory is still here tonight. God's glory is still in this earth tonight. If we could look for it, we would see it. Oh, if we would just take time
time in our walk with God to look around. We could say, I can feel, I can sense, I can experience His glory, His presence. I can feel something in my soul. I can feel something from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. You see, this glory is real tonight. God's glory, God's power is real tonight. I don't care where we go. You know, we can go wherever we choose to tonight. We can go to Africa. We can go to China. We can go to the Philippines. But wherever we go tonight, oh, you see, you can go to any place and you can find that God's glory is there. Hallelujah. When we're walking through the valleys, we can find that the glory of this holy God is in every valley. It's in every trial. It's in every dark experience in this life. Why is this? It's because we are serving a holy God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a holy God. But listen, Isaiah said something happened in that temple. He said the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. You know, Isaiah's saying that when these angels would let out the cry, holy, 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 and all they were honoring God, that temple would tremble at the voice of those angels. My God, I can recall at times God moving. I can recall at times when we were per se praying, and you could feel the trailer where we were at begin to shake under the power of God. You say, preacher, it won't happen. It can't happen. It doesn't happen. I read where the disciples in that early church, when they were beaten and they returned to their own to tell what had happened, that they began to pray and praise and honor this holy God. And that place where they were assembled was shaken. Let me tell you, God is a mighty God tonight. Hallelujah. Isaiah said, the temple began to shake. The temple began to tremble. My God, we ought to get some more of this old time glory tonight. We ought to say, Lord, we need this. But this prophet of God, this man that had stood for God for many years in his life, began to find something and an effect in his life from being in the presence of this holy God. Let me tell you, church, when we're in the presence of God, I've heard people say that they could stand and do things and they stood and talked with angels. My God, I don't care who you are. When we're standing in the presence of God, when we're in the presence maybe of an angel of God that He'd send our way, we're not going to foolishly stand there and stand bravely. But my God, I believe that we'll tremble at the presence of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Isaiah says this. He says, then said I, he began to sense something in his life and something about this holy God. He began to sense, even though that he was a priest of God, that there were things that were wrong in his life. And he says, woe is me. You know, he's pronouncing a doom upon him. He's saying, woe is me. One writer said what he's saying. He's saying, I'm as a dead man. I'm dead because I've stood in the presence of this holy God. I'm feeling something. My God, when we get down to business with God, we're going to feel the convicting power power of the Holy Ghost. There's not going to be a sin that's buried within our heart that we'll be able to stand up in the presence of God, but it'll bring us to our knees in His presence. You see, we need some of the old time Holy Ghost convicting power back in our churches. We need it back in our homes again, because God is a holy God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 or Hebrews chapter 12 and 14 that we're to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now we can tear that page out. We can cut that verse out. We can cover it up. We can get all the white out we want and blot it out. But God will still hold us accountable that we need to pursue holiness in our life. Listen, He goes on to say this. He says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm undone. There's something coming short in my life." You know, if we was all honest and we'd really get into the presence of God, there wouldn't be no falling down at the altar, popping up and going out the door. My God, we'd be doing some searching of our hearts and lives. He says, "I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He said, "You know, there's things, even as me as a prophet, when I stand in the presence of God, when I stand in the holiness of this great King, my God, this King of all the earth, when I'm in His presence, I feel so unworthy. I feel so unclean. I feel so dirty, because the holiness of this mighty God is pure. Oh, it's righteous. There's no sin about God. There's never been a sin about Him." You see, it's just like with Jesus. There was no guile found in His mouth. He was without sin. He is the Son of this mighty God. Hallelujah. And when we stand in His presence and we realize that this is God, it will affect us in a way that God's Spirit will search us. There's no hiding anything from God. I don't care what it is. This prophet says, "I'm undone. I'm unclean. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He said, "I've got unclean lips." You know, it doesn't make any difference if we say anything bad or not. When you get around people and they're cussing and they're carrying on, it leaves you feeling unclean. When you turn the TV on, you sit there and watch everything that comes along. My God, it's going to leave you unclean. It's going to leave you dirty with filthy and dirty feelings in your heart and life. Say, "Oh, preacher, I don't believe that." Well, you know, we get in the presence of God, we'll find out. Isaiah says, "I'm undone." And here he gives the reason. Listen what he says. He said, "For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You know, God is a holy God. I want to read you some scriptures about this. Then hopefully I'll get back to this. Holiness, as it's described in the Bible about God, just a few verses. Exodus 15 and 11. The writer says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" He said, "Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises, doing wonders?" You know, who is like this God? We can't compare anyone or anything to God tonight. Oh, you see, we've been tainted. We've been spoiled with sin. We have sin. We're sinful creatures tonight. And we need to do like Isaiah. And we need to get in the presence of God so He can reveal our imperfections. And then not get up and walk away from them, but say, "God, I need Your help. I'm falling short in my life." And I rang the bell. Psalms 119 and verse 111 and verse 9 says, "He sent redemption unto His people He had commanded His covenant forever. Listen what it says about His name. Holy and reverent is His name. Another place the Bible said the Lord is great in Zion. And says He is high above all the people. Said let them praise Thy great name, great and terrible name, for it is holy. God's name is holy tonight. I hear people going around just taking the name of the Lord in vain. Just anywhere at all. Using it anywhere at all. I hear Christian people just lightly using God's name and taking the name of God and just using it lightly at all and not really giving any reverence and respect to God. You know, He says in one place, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for He'll not hold those guiltless that take His name in vain. We need to be careful how we use the name of God. Paul said, let everyone that names the name of Christ, let them to depart from iniquity. My God, if we're going to be Christians, then let's live a holy life and act like it. Let's live up to this standard that God's called us to live. Holiness is what God is looking for in our life. His name is holy. Other things about this holy God. The Bible says that God has spoken in His holiness. And the writer says, because of that I will rejoice. You know, so many people are looking at holiness and living holy and living separate from this world. My God, we've got it in our mind that we can do whatever we want and we don't need to live the way that God wants us to live. And they hate holiness anymore. I heard a preacher years ago said that anyone that hates holiness is full of the devil. God's a holy God tonight. You know, we ought to love holiness. God loves holiness. God's a holy God tonight. I don't care if the devil gets mad at me tonight or not. You know, God's still God. He's not going to change. Just because we're living in 2011 doesn't mean that God's going to change His standard of holiness. Just because we've got every gadget and every device that modern man could have doesn't mean that God's going to change holiness. God is still a holy God tonight. Hallelujah. Let me go on here. He says in Psalms 145 in verse 16, Thou openest Thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. I'm so glad that God's a good God. And see, He supplies our needs. But He said, The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all of His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them, all that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. I thought all that God does is holy. All that relates to God is holiness. His righteousness and holiness go hand in hand tonight. Hallelujah. He's holy in all of His works. He's a holy God tonight. Isaiah says this. He said, For thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity. You know, He's eternal tonight. You and I are just in this life for just a short time. And then, you know, we're going to lay this old body down. We're going to give up the ghost. And our spirit's going to go to stand before God, ready or not. We're going to stand before the Lord. Our soul's going to go to God. But God's eternal. And He said, this one that inhabits eternity, He said, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell in the high, in the holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. You know, even though this great God in heaven is holy, He's come down to touch us. He's come down to change us. When Isaiah was in the middle of one of the worst times of his life, God came down to the temple to be with him, to strengthen him, to encourage him, to get his heart right with God. Oh, hallelujah. That's why God comes to us. So we could be right with Him. So that we could make heaven our home. Isaiah said, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, I've seen the King. I've seen this great king. He says, the Lord of hosts. But you know, God didn't leave him there. Some people might think that God, in His holiness, would turn His back upon us and walk away. God doesn't do that. Because Isaiah, you know, had imperfections in his life. There's not a perfect person sitting here tonight. I don't care who you are, what you think you are. There's not a one of us that's perfect tonight. We've all got imperfections in our life. And this Isaiah says, you know, he says, I'm undone, I'm unclean. And you know, he's probably thinking, what can I do? What can I do because I'm in the presence of this holy God? God had an answer for him. Verse 6 says, then flew one of the seraphims, one of these angels, unto me. Now this angel came over to where Isaiah was. Isaiah there feeling all bad and all convicted because of his life. You know, if we begin to get under conviction every once in a while, my God, we ought to get under conviction and let God touch us every once in a while instead of just trying to cover things up and walk away from it. If we get under old time conviction, my God, there'd be more confession and people would turn from their sins. He says, then this seraphim flew unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar, or with the tongs from off the altar. Can you see this angel? You know, he's doing God's bidding now. This angel that was standing in the presence of this holy God, God was sending him to the rescue of his prophet Isaiah. Oh, you see, God comes to the rescue. Hallelujah. He doesn't look at us and say that you've got a fault, you've got a sin, you messed up in your life, and I'm just going to throw you away. Oh, no, when we get in his presence and we begin to humble ourselves in the presence of this holy God, then you can rest assured that God has an answer. This God in heaven will not leave us in our sins. Hallelujah. If we want to be free from them tonight. Hallelujah. Here comes the angel. He's got these tongs from off the altar. You know, we think of the altar as being just a wooden thing that we come and kneel down to. Thank God for these altars. But that's not the kind of altars that they had in the temples. That's not the kind of altars that they would have when they were coming out of the land of Egypt and the tabernacle. But they had an altar, praise God, that they would build a fire on. And they would take their sacrifices and they would lay them upon the hot burning fires. You see, God's still looking for some people that'll give their body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Oh, but when this angel went to the altar, he began to reach into that altar. He got one of those red, hot, burning coals that was glowing fire, that was hot, and he came to where Isaiah was. Church, we need the Holy Ghost power in our life. I like what Jesus said. He said, or what John the Baptist said about Jesus. He said, he's coming and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, you know, we need to get some of that old time Holy Ghost fire burning. I tell you, praise God, when the fire is burning, praise God, it'll burn away the sin. It'll burn away the doubt. It'll burn away the jealousy. It'll burn away the anger. It'll burn away the habits. It'll burn away all those things that are dragging us down to hell. And they'll burn those things out of our life. Hallelujah. But he came. And he had that gold, that glowing coal. And the Bible said he laid it upon my mouth. Whew. I don't know about you, but if I was old Isaiah, I'd say, Lord, that sure does burn. That soil is doing something to my lips. I can feel what it's doing. I can feel the effects of that cold. You know, this old time salvation, we ought to be feeling something from it. I know we walk by faith and not by sight, but I tell you, in this old time way, there ought to be some feelings. There ought to be some good feelings coming from this old time salvation. There ought to be some joy. There ought to be some shouting. There ought to be some praise. There ought to be some worship. Hallelujah. That'll fill the house of God with the glory and the praise that God deserves tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He goes on to say this. He laid it on my lips. Or on my mouth. And he said, lo, this had touched thy lips. Oh, Isaiah. Hallelujah. I want to let you know something, Isaiah. I know it doesn't say this, but you know, it could be that angel would look at him and say, hey, buddy, God sent me here. God sent me from the throne. He sent me to the altar. He sent me to that place where the coals were. And he told me to bring it over here and take care of this uncleanness that's in your life. Let me tell you something, church. The Holy Ghost works. Hallelujah. As these angels were working in our life, if we'll let him. Hallelujah. I got to hurry. And says, in thy iniquity is taken away. That wickedness, oh, that you were feeling. That sin, and your sin is purged. Now I could imagine, oh, Isaiah began to feel a whole lot different right then. I believe that he could feel that the condemnation and the guilt and the thought of being a dead man was beginning to pass away. You see, we're no longer dead in sin, but we are alive in Jesus tonight. Oh, you see, he's made us alive. He's brought us to life. He's given us spiritual life. He's given us eternal life. He's given us abundant life. Hallelujah. God is good tonight. Hallelujah. And it says, your sin is purged. And you know, all of a sudden this prophet began to change. All of a sudden something began to happen in his life. And it come from standing in the presence of a holy God. He didn't get it by being entertained by Hollywood. He didn't get it by running to the latest thing that was going on back in those days to entertain them. He got it at the altar. He found it in the temple. He found it in a time when it seemed most unlikely for him to ever experience the presence of God. You see, it's not when we make up our mind, but God has already made up his mind. He's ready tonight. God is ready to bless. God is ready to touch anyone that will tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't come to preach this. I got a whole message left. God's so good to me. Oh, hallelujah. And he says, verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord. You know, all of a sudden, this prophet that felt he was undone and wasn't going to make it, all of a sudden he began to hear the voice of the Lord again. You know, we need to listen to what God has to say. Sometimes we sit around, we listen to our own feelings. We listen to somebody else's opinion. We listen to all the newscasters on the radio and on the TV. And we listen to everything else and never take time to listen to God. But I tell you, when we can get in the presence of the Holy God, hallelujah, you will take a little time. He'll speak to us. Hallelujah. When we get the sin out of the way, we'll be able to hear what he's got to say. Hallelujah. He says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? You know, God's looking for people that are willing to do something for him. We're getting so busy that we don't have time for Jesus anymore. We're getting so busy that we don't have time to go to the highways and to the hedges and compel people to come in anymore because we feel we got to have everything else. But my God, people are dying and going to hell. Here's a prophet that when he got in the presence of a holy God, it not only took his sin away, but it changed his direction in life. Hallelujah. God says, who are we going to send? Who's going to go? And here's old Isaiah listening. You know, kind of like he's on the outside just listening to a conversation. And all of a sudden he speaks up. And he said, Lord, he said, here am I. Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me, Lord. It doesn't make no difference where you want to send me. It doesn't make any difference how the people respond. You know, sometimes we done made up our mind that we're not going to go because there's so many people hard-hearted and we're not going to waste our time on them. When God sends us and we go, there's no time wasted. Not a bit of time is wasted when we're doing God's will. You know, we might not accomplish and we might not see the results that we would like to see. But everybody should be offered the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Lord, I'm ready to go. You done took away my sin. You know, some people get saved and they sit in church and never do anything for God. Never. And before they're saved, they run to the honky-tonks, the beer joints, and everywhere else and stay out to 12, 1, 2, and 3 o'clock in the morning. Now we find it hard to sit in church past 9 o'clock. Yeah. I'm telling you the truth, church. We'd go out, and I did it. Run all night long, drag in, and all in a bad shape. And my God, think nothing of it. But Isaiah says, Lord, I'm ready to go. You send me. Time's no factor. Wherever you want to send me, that's not a factor. Whoever you want to send me to, Lord, that doesn't matter. You just send me. I'm willing to go. Are we willing to go? Or are we telling God where we're going to go and what we're going to do? That's our problem sometimes. And he said, go. God says, go. And tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. He said, Isaiah, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to go to people that, you know, you're going to tell them things and they're not going to understand. They're not going to see what you're trying to tell them. But you know, he said, I still want you to go. I want you to go. You know, every once in a while we might get through to somebody. Every once in a while, if we go, you know, when we sit back and we never go, we never get in the presence of the Holy God. Sometimes we want to go, and we've never been in His presence. My God, we ought to get back in touch with Him and get in touch with this God that is holy tonight. And then we can go. We can go knowing that we've had an experience at an old time altar. You know, it's more than just getting happy. You know, God said He's the high and the lofty one. He dwells and He's the holy one. And you know, and He dwells with them that are of a humble and contrite spirit. You know, we ought to get around the altar and start weeping a little bit instead of just shouting all the time. I love to shout. I love to get happy. But you know, one of the best feelings you ever get and the best experience you ever get from God and the more direction and the most direction you ever get from God when you can humble and weep around the altars. The Bible says, you know, Zion, you know, until she begins to travail, we'll never bring forth. We got to travail at the altars. We got to get in the presence of this holy God and realize that He is holy. He's not some celebrity. He's not someone that we turn off and on when we need something. You know, that's a problem with a lot of people. The only time we know God when they want something. Isn't that truth? We've all been guilty of that. God, I love you. I need you. I'm sick. I've got a problem. I've got a problem with my family and all this. But, you know, any other time we don't want Him, don't need Him. Isaiah was in a hard time. I don't know how he felt at other times. I don't know everything about Isaiah. But I'm sure he's just as human as any one of us tonight. He might have been a prophet, but he's no different than any one of us. He's a man. He walked in the flesh, just like you and I do. But the Bible says, tell them. And it said, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. And he says, and understand, they understand, you know, with their heart, and convert and be healed. Isaiah says in verse 11, he said, how long, Lord? Lord, how long am I going to have to do this? How long am I going to have to serve God? We're going to have to serve Him to the end. You know, Brother Gary mentioned the other night that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God's called us all to go. When He called the disciples, He said to them to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But you know, He didn't say that you can go until you don't feel like going anymore. He didn't put no time limit on it. We have to be faithful to the end. You know, we have to see every day an opportunity that God can send us to go. We get up in the morning, we go to work and say, well, that's not going anywhere special. That's where God puts you for the day. Better accept it as being where God wants you for the day. We got to be there, don't we? We might as well take advantage of it. We go and grumble. You know, we grumble about our jobs. You don't have to worry about that no more. But you know, some of us, we got in the habit of grumbling. I think I've mentioned I've done that many times in my life until I had to ask God to help me to quit grumbling. I'm glad to have a job. It ain't the perfect, most perfect job, but thank God for it. It takes care of the needs. You see, church, and why I'm there, I'm being a witness. We've been going through this study program. And somebody said something, I think they said something to Sister Bear the other day, that, oh, he's not singing anymore. Well, I don't have time to sing. I've been trying to cram my head full of things so I can pass an examination to move up in ministry and do more for God, perhaps. And you know, I'll do my singing when it's all over. Hallelujah. I'll get back in the groove again and do all those things. But you know why I'm there? They still see that I'm doing something for God. I've got people coming to me. People that, you know, they notice things about you and they notice things about me. They can tell if we've been in the presence of God or not. They know when we're not praying. They know when we're not studying. They know when we're just taking things lightly and always running, waiting to the last minute to pray and to get in touch with God. And they can sense it in our life. Isaiah says, how long is it going to be, Lord? And you know, he says, the Lord answered and said, till the cities be wasted without inhabitant. And you know, this goes back to what we've been studying. The Babylonians coming, carrying them off. You know, we need to keep on going until we've tried to reach everybody we can. We look at people and we say, that one doesn't deserve it. That one, you know, they treated me bad. That one over there. But if they come to you, you better be ready to give them the right answer. You better be prepared when somebody comes to you. I don't care how they treated us. If they've been mean and hateful and grouchy to you, maybe it's because you've been mean and hateful and grouchy to them. Hello. But when you get into the presence of God, He'll take care of those things in our life. And when they come to us, if somebody's done us wrong, and they've mistreated us and said things about us and lied on us or whatever they've done, and they come and they look at us and they say, brother, I want to know Jesus. You know, I might have done you wrong. And you get all puffed up to them and say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Don't you think God's going to hold us accountable? But I'm going to tell you something, church. When we get in the presence of God, those attitudes will leave. We'll look at people a little different. Jesus, when He hung on the cross, and after they had done Him all the way that they'd done Him, mistreated Him, some of those that were there that standing at the foot of the cross probably had blood splattered on their hands and on their clothes from driving those spikes and into His hands, into His feet. But He could look down at people that were stained with His blood and people that had spit upon Him and people that had cursed him and people that had been mean to him. And he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I want to tell you something, church. We'll never be able to do that until we get in the presence of God. When we get in the presence of God, things will change in our life. We'll look at people different. And we'll see something in their life that God sees. You know, we look and we don't see what God sees, but when we get in His presence enough, I believe that, praise God, we can look at others through the eyes of Jesus, and we can see what God sees and what Christ sees in their life. The very same thing that He saw in our life. You know, when God came to me one night, and He didn't come walking down the aisle to me, and Jesus didn't walk up to me and in a physical presence, not in His presence, but He walked up in the lives of two other Christian people. He came to me through people that cared about me. He walked right up to me in the life of the pastor's wife and in the life of the evangelist and said, would you like to pray? Would you like to get saved? Somebody had been in the presence of God. Somebody knew what it was to look at someone. They might have seen me going up and down the street in front of that church at times drunk and carrying on and carousing around. But when I sat in that pew that night and God came to me through them, God brought me right into His very presence. God took a sinner. God took one that didn't deserve it. God took one that would take His name in vain. God took one that would do everything against Him and against His word and against His commandments. And God put me at the altar on this side of the church. I could remember it just as if it happened last night. I could see the archway in the front of that church. I could see the lights and remember the lights. And I could remember God touching my life and forgiving me as He took me into His presence. And I began for the first time in my life to understand what it means to get in the presence of a holy God. He saved me. He forgave me. Would you stand? Sister, would you come? I got about 3 more hours of preaching on this little paper here. But you know, I've got to stop. God is so good to His church. God is a holy God tonight. And we need to understand that. And when we begin to get in His presence the way that Isaiah did, then he's going to search our life. You know, the Bible said, let a man examine himself. We need to examine ourselves. But there comes a time when we just need to get in His presence and let God turn His searchlight upon us. And everything that He spots His light on, we ought to lay it on the altar. Say, God, I'm laying it all down. Every bad feeling, every bad habit, every sin, I'm going to lay it all on the altar. Hallelujah. I want to get it out of my life. And Lord, I want to do this because I know that You're a holy God. And that the blood of Jesus Christ, Your Son, will wash away my every sin. Now, He's not going to wash away what you don't lay on the altar. But we need to confess our sins. We need to confess our habits. We need to be open with God. He knows everything anyhow. And we need to lay things on the altar and let God take it away. As He said to Isaiah, your iniquity is taken away and your sin's been purged. When we get in the presence of God and we're sincere with God, He'll take away every sin. I want to tell you something, folks. God's a holy God. One day we're going to find out. One day every one of us. You know, we're not going to stand in His presence, not a one of us, and give Him any excuse. There's not anybody that's going to stand up in their strength and in the face of God and not tremble in His presence. I believe everybody's going to tremble. when they realize how holy this God is and that He holds their destiny in His hands. And you know, He holds your life in His hands tonight, not just eternity, but your life in this world. And God can withhold the next breath if He chooses. God can take our life tonight if He chooses. But I'm glad that He loves us. Church, we're standing in the presence of a holy God tonight. You know, Moses, when he first met God, didn't understand a thing about Him. He might have heard some things and knew a few things. But when Moses asked God, and God said, I want you to go down to the Egypt and bring my children out. He says, what am I going to tell them? He said, you tell them I am and sent you. But Moses stood there in the presence of God. And God said, Moses, take your shoes from off your feet. For you are standing on holy ground. Wherever we are, wherever we are, God is there. You know, if we're here tonight, God is here. Tomorrow when you go to work, God is there. When you sit down at home tonight, God is there. And God is a holy God, not just in church. He's not just holy when we're here. Some people treat Him that way. But God is holy everywhere. Would you come tonight? You have a need from God. You need God to touch you. You're having a struggle in your life with some temptation, some sin, or some habit tonight. Why don't you lay it on this altar and give it all to Jesus tonight? Lay it all down and say, here it is, God. Here it is, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me my backsliding. Forgive me my habit. Forgive me, God, for all the things that I've done from wandering. Forgive me of my faults. Cleanse me tonight, Jesus.